Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
It's podcast.
This week we return to The Gentleman's Art of Dressing with Economy by A Lounger at the Clubs, which is a Victorian fashion guide published in 1876. We are on Chapter 9, Miscellaneous. So who knows what's coming?
Ooh, it could be anything in there.
Part 1, Gloves.
Oh, now that's racy.
How much can be spent on the trivialities of dress, and how small a return the outlay yields? Thank goodness the day has gone by, I hope forever, when a man's position was compromised if seen with ungloved hands.
What? But gloves are cool.
Gloves are fun, I think. They're more fun, I think, as a choice, rather than something you have to have on before you leave the house unless you want everyone to assume you're a slut.
That makes sense, actually, yeah.
20 years ago, had one ventured into that resort of Gandins and Cocottes, the Burlington Arcade, your best friend would have felt bound in the interests of fashion to cut you dead had you not shown Gante with Jovin's best kids.
Okay. All right. A lot of words. A lot of sounds. Can you walk me through that sentence one more time?
If your best friend saw you out shopping without gloves on, they would have to denounce you and disassociate from you forever.
Well, that's just not good friendship. I'm gonna say it. Ken, I'd still be friends with you even if I saw you shopping without your gloves.
Thank you. That's very sweet of you. I would not do the same.
Whoa! Good to know where we stand. The joke's on you. I always wear gloves. You know that about me.
That's the thing. I've never seen you without gloves on in public. So if you don't have gloves on, I know it's not actually you. It's a clone, and I need to leave.
It's my doppelganger.
At present, there is rather a revulsion in favor of the naked fist. And although gloves in winter are almost a necessity for comfort, one can please oneself to wear them or not.
Thank you. How big of you.
It is a ridiculous custom to carry gloves in the hand, merely to convince the passers-by you have a pair. There is no practical object attained by so doing.
Oh boy.
Either wear them on the hand or stow them altogether.
Okay. You know, that's kind of where my heart was. Thank you, A-Lounger.
At matinees, garden parties, and resorts where ladies go, gloves are necessary, but a man can go a whole season through clubland ungloved, not even sized of a pair, without losing caste in modern society.
He has a lot of strong feelings about gloves.
I own tight-fitting gloves, look very elegant and chic, but it will be found on analysis they afford more satisfaction to their wearer than to the outside world.
Wait, is that not enough reason to wear them?
That's the thing. If you're not wearing gloves for you, why the fuck are you wearing gloves?
Yeah, who are you wearing gloves for? There's a doctor somewhere putting us gloves going on like, you ignoramus.
A surgeon looks down at his scrubs and goes, you're right, fuck these people. Just
wait, why should I have to wear any of this shit? I don't like it.
If you wear lavender kids, or those of couleur tendre, they must be of the best quality.
Do you know what couleur tendre means?
Tender color.
That doesn't explain anything to me, thank you.
If lavender were a color for other colors, like pastels.
Oh, thank you. All right, thank you.
If foncé and double-stitched, they need not be so expensive. I recommend to the reader's notice the Danish gloves, now extensively imported. As a rule, they are excellent for wear and about half the cost of French gloves. As to having gloves cleaned, I consider the game not worth the candle. I have tried it, but unsuccessfully. After half an hour's struggle to get in, plus 5 minutes' wear, the fingertips invariably suggested the idea of my having dipped them into a pot of raspberry preserves.
I love it when he tells jokes.
And we have a helpful footnote from Sarah Sows, whom you might remember from our Singer Sewing Machines episode. She says, well, he clearly didn't know what he was doing. You can clean gloves and none of the 19th century methods I know would make them turn red. Distilled white vinegar is usually enough.
What was he doing?
No one knows except A. Lounger.
A. Lounger, how did you fuck it up this bad?
Returning to A. Lounger. To have gloves dyed any other color than black is a waste of money. Then they should be two sizes too large for you, as they are safe to shrink in the process.
At this point, I'm just, like, scanning for lies.
We now move on to ties.
Oh.
In these you will find an infinite variety, quite an embarrass of choice.
Yeah, I mean, that hasn't changed.
No tie or scarf can be neater than plain black in silk or satin. If you are well-dressed, it looks perfection. If indifferently, it attracts no notice. In summer, a chaste effect is produced by wearing a French crepe handkerchief or foulard passed through an ebony ring. If you insist on a fancy tie, I suggest a black ground with lavender or mauve sprig or stripe.
That's a very specific suggestion, Mr. Lounger.
It was a glorious epoch in the annals of dress when the present fashion of scarf, a made-up sailor's knot, came into vogue. All the trouble of folding, knotting, and tying is done away, and the use of breastpin dispensed with. Long may the present fashion flourish. For neatness, dispatch, and comfort, it cannot be improved on. Here let me lift up my voice and cry aloud against the custom which obtains, at the university boat race time, for every howling cad to fly the colors of either university.
Oh, he's complaining about frat boys now?
He's complaining about sports fans.
Oh boy, even worse.
For those connected with either seat of learning, or for the friends of the rival crews, of course, it is proper form to sport their distinguishing colors. But for others in no way concerned with either to follow suit is a proceeding idiotic, snobbish, and as much devoid of reason as it would be for any man not in the service to commemorate the birthday of His Royal Majesty the Duke of Cambridge by walking in Rotten Row clad in evening dress and a military shako.
Whoa, that's a picture. What a word picture.
What a word picture indeed. We now turn to pocket handkerchiefs. On these useful nasal attendants, I have known men expend fancy sums, 7 shillings and 6 pence each, and 4 shillings for crest embroidered thereon.
The absolute cads.
You cannot dress with economy if you indulge in luxuries at this rate.
Okay, well, yeah.
I can buy good cambric kerchiefs for from 12 to 18 shillings a dozen. Excellent for wear, and quite good enough to lose, or, same thing, to lend to a catarrhic friend.
Catarrhic?
Sickly.
Oh, that's me.
Laundresses are not over particular in returning good handkerchiefs. And should you find a strange one when the weekly tale of washing comes back, the odds are against its being of superior quality to the one for which it has been substituted. This remark may be made general and applied to all articles confided to her care. The blanchisseuse of the day is unlearned in Homeric lore and seldom follows the example of him who once gave gold for brass.
Oh, it's a bit lofty.
Memo. Shun handkerchiefs with illustrated devices portraying pseudo-likenesses of the recent Derby winner, the honorable member for Stoke-upon-Orton, the latest fashionable murderer, or the celebrity added to Madame Tussaud's Chamber of Horrors.
Wow, all right. Shit.
Fun antiques freaks bonus fact, that memo quote about fashionable murder handkerchiefs is the reason I sought out this book in the first place.
Is it real? Oh, okay. Well, and there we go, the deep lore.
Because I was like, I gotta know what the fuck this guy is on about. And I must say, good investment.
Absolutely, yes. I'm very glad you did.
And now, collars.
Not the fun kind, I take it?
Well, that depends on your definition of fun, now doesn't it?
That's a good point.
Always get the best quality and entrust their regeneration to a laundress of probity and intelligence. Show at least an inch of white border over and above your coat collar. After my remark on white vests, quod vide, is it necessary to caution you against paper collars? I repeat here what I have elsewhere said, that with colored shirts, collars should be worn of the same material, and that it is advisable when ordering fancy shirts to have duplicate sets to each.
You said that, and I was like, haven't we been here before, a lounger?
We have, in the chapter on shirts. Often in the heat of summer, the collar becomes limp and flaccid while the shirt remains spotless and without blemish. Hence the reason, why change the shirt for the sake of one collar? And now, gaiters.
Oh, Oh, how long I have waited for this.
Are very much in vogue since the fashion to wear them was set in high quarters. If you suffer from cold feet and feel a necessity for extra pedal covering, there is no objection to them, but to wear them simply because His Royal Highness does so is silly and snobbish in the extreme.
You know, I like that. That's a good message. Don't do it just because it's popular.
To fancy that a badly cut gaiter over a worse cut boot can bestow any éclat on anyone is a delusion allied to mental aberration, and the idea that drab spatterdashes purchased ready-made in the Tottenham Court Road will make people believe you belong to the staff of Marlborough House is an hallucination to deceive oneself only.
All right, wait, now this is way more emotion than I would have normally ascribed to gaiters.
You might as well have a lesson or so on the violin and hope to pass off for the Duke of Edinburgh.
Okay, I mean, dog, maybe I just think gaiters look cool.
I once knew a man...
from Kentucky.
Parentheses, weak-minded.
Oh.
who fancied himself a walking edition of the court circular and gave his opinion on matters of haute ton as a deus ex machina.
What?
He based his pretensions for so doing on the slender fact of his employing the ramoneur to the royal family to sweep his chimneys.
Is that a euphemism?
Ramoneur is French for chimney sweep, but I really hope it's a euphemism.
Oh, okay.
Now that you've brought it up, I sincerely hope that the reason this man is pretentious is because he hires the same quote-unquote chimney sweeper as the royal family.
I was gonna say, like, who's sweeping who?
But was he more ridiculous than those who wear gaiters solely in imitation of an illustrious prince?
Was he?
Umbrellas.
Oh, an umbrella. Finally.
It is easier to keep one's temper than one's umbrella.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, and I lose both pretty frequently.
I have often wondered in these days of limited companies, it has never occurred to some brilliant promoter to launch the Mutual Cooperative Umbrella Guarantee Company to ensure the public in the quiet and peaceable possession of this useful implement.
Wow, he's feeling really poetic about these accessories.
At clubs, an excellent plan prevails of placing one glove on top of an umbrella handle in the rack, retaining the other in your possession on the principle of the counterfoil in a bank check.
Whoa. Okay.
A man must be mentally and morally abstracted to appropriate, under these circumstances, both glove and umbrella as his own, and if you detect one in the act, you will be justified in saying to him, as Wellington did to Huskisson, "It is no mistake, it can be no mistake, and it shall be no mistake."
Yes, sir!
The best stuff for wear is Italian twilled silk. And I advise my readers to have two umbrellas, one for real work on confirmed wet days, the other for dress occasions. And both should be kept thoroughly clean and all mud spots removed from them by the use of a sponge.
Wait, he wants me to just sort of have an umbrella for my fucking around umbrella?
Yeah.
Okay, that I was on board because I think umbrellas are great, but it's intensity of umbrella love.
Would you like to hear about jewelry?
Oh, more than anything.
If you wear jewelry, let it be limited in quantity and of the best quality. Beyond a gold chain for watch, I do not see the necessity for any.
Oh, then he's not fun anymore. Canceled. Cancel him. Get on Twitter. A-Lounger is over.
In these days of aluminum and oroid, gold studs and links cease to be ornamental and are better replaced by mother of pearl, onyx, or other real stone.
Yeah, I guess I kind of agree with that.
Are you ready for the following?
Yes.
A profusion of jewelry, real or mock, will cause you to be handicapped as a Jew bill discounter or that hybrid nondescript bankrupt cigar merchant and general financial agent.
That was a lot, and most of it seemed very racist.
Yeah, no, we have finally arrived at the obligatory anti-Semitism in all 19th century literature, which is not surprising, but deeply disappointing.
Like, what the fuck, A-Lounger?
I should always mistrust the man who in cold blood goes in for mock jewelry. Nothing short of half rations or impending starvation would induce me to stretch my legs beneath his mahogany.
I'm gonna come for you in cold blood, A-Lounger. You keep this shit up.
Beware of him when he plays the part of Amphitryon.
Amphitryon.
He cannot well adulterate the solids, but in the matter of fluids, look out! For here his imitative talent will assert itself ruthlessly to the cost of the interior economy of your vitals.
I'm sorry, wait, can we break this one down?
Uh-huh.
He's getting real abstract. What the fuck is he saying?
He is implying that someone who wears mock jewelry will also serve you fake booze.
Oh, okay. Fuck off. I wear a ton of fake jewelry and I never buy anything but top shelf for my friends.
The pale sherry he offers you will be a triumph of modern chemistry and derive its origin not from Andalusia, but from the more accessible region of Bethnal Green.
We have this problem with A-Lounger a lot, right? Where he's like, oh, we're going to teach you how to, like, do with economy. But, like, don't drink cheap booze and only wear real jewelry. Like, I can't afford the real jewelry if I don't cut on the booze.
His actual advice is don't wear any jewelry at all.
Listen, there are so many parts of me he can kiss in regards to that advice.
And his argument is that if you feel you absolutely must wear jewelry, you should at least wear real jewelry.
I would rather have jewelry than the booze. Hot take.
Whoa. Beware of his champagne, he is fooling thee. Touch not his vieux cognac. It is very likely a methylated spirit dashed with a flavoring of fusel oil known to the Jews in the east of London under the euphonious title of Whitechapel Finish. Again, not surprising, but still deeply disappointing.
Yeah, A-Lounger shut the fuck up challenge.
There are different degrees of heinousness in the assumption of mock jewelry. And the more valuable be the article imitated, the greater is the moral guilt of the wearer.
Moral guilt? It's going heavy.
To wear an illegitimate Albert chain for real is equivalent, when reduced to figures, its simplest terms, to leading the public to infer that you carry as portable property £10 worth of bullion, while the cost of the spurious cable could not have exceeded 10 shillings. To wear mock brilliants, say imitation diamonds, either in rings or studs, implies the issue of a false prospectus on your part, tacitly stating you have a paid-up capital of £100 about your person, while the fictitious gems, whatever they may have cost, are not valued for 100 pence. Nor, if detected in the latter nefarious transaction, can you urge a valid excuse, nor advance anything in arrest of judgment or in mitigation of your crime.
Crime!
The impostor with the duffing chain might say he had it for the protection of his watch against pickpockets in the light-fingered fraternity. This would be a weak set-off. A steel chain will answer this purpose and always looks well, for it is what it professes to be and nothing more. But the deliberate assumption of paste or false stones in rings, studs, solitaires, or breastpins, the same with intent to deceive, cannot be palliated, and leaves the wearer convicted of a delinquency not markedly dissimilar to the smasher's art.
Man, you're making a lot of assumptions about me here, Lounger. Maybe I just like to look fancy.
Wearing mock jewelry is not a commercial forgery, but still a moral fraud.
Moral fraud, and you are as bad as a smash-and-grab robber.
It is uttering spurious metal, and, being deceitful above all things, must be desperately wicked.
Desperately wicked. I wish it was that easy to make people fit, like, call me cool stuff, like, desperately wicked.
So I think we can all heartily agree, fuck A-Lounger.
Fuck A-Lounger for real, though.
Sarah Soes has a final helpful footnote for this chapter.
Eat a dick, A-Lounger, you racist piece of shit.
Honestly, the anti-Semitism in this section just supports the idea that A-Lounger is a tailor who sees the rise in cheap, ready-to-wear garments made in East London sweatshops by predominantly Jewish immigrants as his greatest threat, and wrote this book not to tell people how to dress cheaply, but rather to tell people not to buy the ready-to-wear clothing that was undercutting him.
Oh!
Congratulations, A-Lounger, you played yourself.
Oh my god.
Exposed!
First of all, bless Sarah Soes. Like, I do absolutely feel like Sarah Soes has dropped, like, the end of the Agatha Christie mystery on me. Because, like, I had all of, like perfect mystery setup because I had all of the clues and my brain is tilting them around. And then she dropped the answer.
He gave you all the clues. It's like the snowman.
Just like the snowman. I gave you the clues, Mr. Police. You could have stopped being racist. But, like I had all the clues, and then, like Agatha Christie, Sarah Soes drops into the end and, like, reveals it, and I'm like, yes!
My
like,
God.
Wow. Like, Gotta clap it out, because what an like, she's right, though.
She's right, though. But yes, thus concludes A-Lounger's thoughts on miscellaneous.
Oh, I mean, he's gonna catch a miscellaneous fist to the jaw.
God willing.
Or he would if he weren't dead.
We can work with that.
about to go to London and dig this fool up. about to reinvent ghouling just for him.
And thus the Antiques Freaks became Resurrectionists.
Here we go. Resurrectionists Part 2. Here we go.
Oh, yes. His next chapter, just to give you a sneak peek, is Toilet.
I know it doesn't mean that necessarily, but it's funny.
It's still very funny. Sources for this episode include The Gentleman's Art of Dressing with Economy by A Lounger at the Clubs, and our helpful friend Sarah Sows. Check out our episode on the history of Singer sewing machines to hear more from her.
It's so cool.
She is an absolute font of information. It's delightful.
And shout out to Sarah Sows for solving the mystery.
For unmasking the Scooby-Doo villain behind A Gentleman's Art of Dressing with Economy.
It was anti-Semitic capitalism all along.
If you would like to suggest episode topics or just say hello, you can email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. Or check out our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends, or tag us on Tumblr, antiquesfreaks.tumblr.com.
If you had a good time listening to us slag on A Lounger and talk about how many different kinds of neckties you can wear, feel free to scroll on down to wherever you're listening to this and leave us a little review. Any kind of review is good and gets our dulcet tones into many ears.
If you would like to purchase a wide variety of vintage goods, you should check out our Etsy at etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks.
Coming soon, a horrible little clown plate.
Oh, delightful. We do still have the vintage 1920s, well, properly antique now, actually, Ramsay's Egyptian Revival condoms, fresh in box. Don't use them, but do enjoy them.
I am stunned that those didn't sell first.
Listen, they're amazing. I am, however, sorry to report that, what was it? The National Disgrace, the pamphlet against drunkenness, did sell.
Yes, that did sell. I hope it's very happy with its new owner.
It was a delight to see in the shop while we had it.
Yeah, I read the whole thing and it's insane. Like, imagine thinking that drinking lavender would make you not an alcoholic anymore.
I mean, it worked for me.
Well, whoa, okay. Well, if you're out there and you bought that, you gotta report back to us.
If you would like to listen to deleted scenes or our bonus episodes where we read Varney the Vampire or The Feast of Blood, imagine A Lounger but with vampires, then you should check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks. Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees and filling our hearts with love.
So much love.
And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Au revoir.
Goodbye.